Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with leaders from across the country and all around the world who are all united by a shared belief in the glory of God and the power of prayer.
I believe that God is love, which is more accurate than saying that love is God. God is the epitome of love. He defines what love is.
No, not so, dear brother. I did not point you down that path so that baptism should grant the liberty to sin. Quite the opposite.
To stray from God's created order and God's created design then becomes a direct attack on the triune God of love in whose image we are made.
Southern Illinois bird watchers love Issues, etc.
Consider this passage, if you would, from the book of Proverbs. Father advising his son, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. It's a pretty common image in the book of Proverbs, indeed in all of Holy Scripture, this idea of staying on this path, paying attention to this path, watching where your feet fall on this path is a picture not only of wisdom, but also ultimately of faith in Jesus Christ. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, May the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our series on the book of Proverbs today with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, seeing wisdom as keeping your eye on that road ahead. Terry Mattingly joins us after that. We'll talk about media coverage of the life and death of progressive Christian author Rachel Held Evans. Dr. Gabriella Haynes of Answers in Genesis joins us to discuss this fossil. It was actually discovered about four decades ago, but it's come to light again. A fossil, a piece of a human jawbone, allegedly from a forerunner of modern humans. It's amazing how little data the archaeologists and the evolutionists need to, at least in their minds, construct an entire story, an entire backstory on the human race. We'll talk about that with her. Then Marjorie Dannenfelsers is president of the Susan B. Anthony List. We'll be talking with her about the national Democratic leaders and how they are out of step with Democratic voters on the issue of abortion, especially late-term abortion and abortion in all 9 months. No questions asked, no restrictions whatsoever. Joining us for our series on Proverbs today, Wisdom is Seeing the Road, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's host of a radio show called Sharper Iron. He's author of the books Broken and Echo. Pastor Fisk, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
We hear these words also an awful lot in the book of Proverbs, where the father speaks to his son, "My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." Why is that repeated so often?
It's almost annoying at this point for me as I study this with you, because I keep wanting to be fresh and say something new and clever and, you know, get good downloads and make comment of the week and all that. And every time we come back to the text, it's just, "Well, my son, listen to my words." And we kind of have two ways of handling that, the way that my flesh does, which is, "This isn't fair. You know, we need something more interesting than this." Or to recognize that that response is exactly why he's saying it again. It's because we're not listening. Because the most needful thing, which is to listen carefully to the words of the Lord and be in total submission to them, that is, with a guarding, cherishing, keeping hunger, a driving, disciplined defense of dogmatic truth, to be having that doctrine as life be all that we are, well, we're not that. And so wisdom always begins by remembering that all over again. And the fact that he's repeating it again and again, now in English, this might be bad poetry, right? We think that poetry, or it's not just we, English is such that poetry is having new words. you don't want to use the words the same way. Roses are red, violets are blue. This poem's been done and boo, 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 right? It's just, you don't want to repeat. It gets old. It's dry and crass. Hebrew's the other way around. Hebrew has an elevation of repetition that when we just translate it straight across, it becomes, well, bad English. But if we can kind of step back from that and see that, why did they find repetition so beautiful? It's because of the amplification of an idea or a circular coming back to an idea, which is at the heart. We put our main ideas at the beginning and the end of a sentence or a paragraph or a paper, but they put them in the middle. And it's the same idea, so they can circle around it over and over and over again. So what I think might be helpful then is just to recognize with this, you know, what does he want us to be attentive to is these words. Which words are these? This is not just Solomon making up something. You know, hey, I figured out that you can craft a pretty cool tool if you do it pretty hard, or try it this way, or use this wood. This is the Word of God. And he's calling his son to come back to the Word of God. And I'm reminded again of this idea. The more I think about this, the more I like it, which Andrew Preuss, another LCMS pastor, had suggested, that Proverbs is written after Ecclesiastes. Now, I don't know if we can prove this historically, but the idea being that Solomon lives the life of Ecclesiastes and discovers wisdom through a lot of failure. And then later, having failed to raise Rehoboam, the son who will be king, well in the word of the Lord, realizes he needs to and comes back pretty hard. You imagine talking to some 14-year-old kid who already knows it all and says, look, this is the truth. This is the word of the Lord. My son, you need to hear these words. And so there's an urgency here in this, which, however it came about, the Lord intends that for us to hear it. So rather than hearing the repetition as something that is dry or dull or I've heard it before, it's urgent. That's why it's being repeated. It's urgent. It reminds me also, and I have a couple other verses to just think on here, where the meditation on the Word of God as being something we need to return to over and over again is focused on as a main concept in these texts. And part of this is also to realize that our life is flowing from this word. If we don't have this word, we die. So Psalm 33 has a few verses that say this: the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. So this idea that the Word of God is more than just sounds, more than just ideas, more than just commands even, if we take commands as things that can be believed or not believed. The Word of the Lord is a creative force. It is, even better, a personal God, who is the Son of God, Jesus. And that this creative, personal God is able to do with his words, not just speak them. And for this reason, he is worthy of worship in and of himself. My son, be attentive to this, right? Come back to this. Incline your ears to this God who speaks and it comes to be. And there's a lot of places, again, in the scripture where the idea of the Word of God as being something to come back to is dwelt on and focused on. Psalm 119, super long psalm. Most people don't read it all the way through. The whole thing is a meditation on the value of the Word of God. Psalm 19 has a similar thing, which it gets lost a little in the language. But it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So all of those things, law of the Lord, testimony, precepts, commandments of the Lord, fear of the Lord, rules, that's all the Word of God. That's all what Solomon's saying. Listen to these things. With these results, it revives your soul. It regenerates life. It makes wise the simple. That is, it takes a fool and it makes him so he can see. It rejoices the heart. That is, it takes your despair and it gives it hope. It enlightens the eyes. And this will come back to this here. It lets you be able to see what's in front of you. And then enduring forever never passes away. It reminds us of the Isaiah passages, that the men are like grass, their beauty like the flowers of the field. Grass withers, flowers fade, the word of the Lord endures forever. And then righteous altogether, right? Righteous, justifying, complete, good. And Solomon can't say this enough, because we can't hear this enough because we don't believe it enough as fallen creatures. It's what we always have to be called back to. One more thought, and then I'll throw it back to you here if I can capture this idea. It's stunning how many times as a pastor I find myself in the pulpit preaching on the text from the text that we're supposed to pay attention to the text. So the message that God comes and brings first is, listen, that's it. Right. Listen, look here. No, stop. Listen to this right here. Stay with this. Scripture must be believed. The word must be heard. This is a running dynamic theme in Scripture because of our inability to hear, which is rooted in our fallen inability to believe. The fact that we do hear it and want to believe it is a miracle, the miracle of grace and faith alone, all done for us in Christ. But that doesn't alleviate us from the need to be called back. And so again, Solomon, as he enters into a new segment here, a new focus on the path and on the human heart, he bookends it or leads into it with the same thing. Look, this is the same message, and it begins with, you need to hear it.
When he talks about keeping them, these words within your heart, or keep your heart with all vigilance there, what is he describing?
Right. So we have in the next three verses, verses 21 through 23 of chapter 4, we have an introduction of the idea of seeing, then very quickly moves into the idea of the heart, and it's going to come back to seeing after this, but he's really moving us toward being able to see. So verse 21 says, let them not escape from your sight, right? First, it's about your eyes need to be opened, keeping them within your heart. Now we're tying your ability to see with whatever this idea of the heart is, and while the heart is certainly something that the Hebrews and the New Testament, so the Hebrew scriptures, New Testament scriptures, do talk about the heart, I think we have to be careful here not to confuse it or pull into it everything that we as Americans think of when we think of the heart. Just to begin with, if I say the word heart, your mind is going to have a certain shape, right? Like the Valentine. That's fairly new as an idea. The Hebrew would not have had that. The Hebrew also doesn't have only the heart as a source of emotion or soul or individual identity or passion in the body. They have a number of ways of describing that, and most of them include your guts in some way. The spleen is a big part of that. But the heart's not disconnected from that either. What I'm hedging against here is treating the heart as if it's somehow an elevated, separate thing that we would give all trust to. He's not going to say that, even though it might, you know, keep your heart with all vigilance. He's not really saying trust your heart or follow your heart. And for this reason, we have to really take a number of other things that the scriptures say. And maybe the most famous passage is Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and following, which says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? He asks. And then God says right through him at this moment, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So it's not as though the heart is clean in and of itself, which is why this bit about the heart and keeping your heart with diligence, as Solomon teaches it, really begins with, don't let the word of God escape from your sight so as to get away from your heart. It's almost like, if you can picture this, like the word of God is going to, it's not running away from you. You have a tendency to leak it or to throw it away, but it's almost like it's escaping. And so he's saying, keep your eyes out. So when you see the word of God slipping out of your ear and some other lie slipping in the other ear, you can chase down the word of God and shove it back inside your head, lest you be deceived. Because by ourselves, our hearts are deceitful. They prefer the lie. They prefer the lie. And this is a hard one, I think, to grapple with. That even as a Christian, I need to be able to acknowledge that of my flesh, I don't want to believe in Jesus. Of the Spirit of God within me, regenerating me to be a new man, I absolutely want to believe in Jesus. And that experience is not one I can like separate. I can't divide my flesh from my spirit, experiencing them both together. But if I start putting my trust in my flesh to hold Jesus close, or to trust in Jesus. And the way people would say this today is, I can believe in Jesus without going to church. That's how they'd say that, right? They're basically saying, my flesh is sufficient to keep me believing in Jesus. You're in trouble. You can't do it. Of your flesh, you can't do it. You need this word to keep putting it into you. And so should you see a moment where you would say such a thing or lean towards such a life, right? Solomon's saying, don't do that. Run back. Shove these words back into your heart. To amplify the the darkness of the human heart, Jesus gets even worse than Jeremiah in Matthew chapter 15, when he is talking about a number of things with his disciples, but he calls the people together. He says, understand this. Verse 11, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. And this is because they're all arguing about food laws, and everyone's kind of confused. They think if you eat food with unwashed hands, you're going to be a sinner. And he kind of starts to yell at them a little bit later. Don't you see, verse 17, that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? This is as like crass as Jesus gets. He's like, you know, don't you understand that your food comes out the backside later? Like, what comes out from the mouth, though, what comes forward from your mouth, not what goes in, but what goes out, is from your heart. And that's what defiles you. Because verse 19, out of the heart comes evil thought, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Notice how he doesn't say dreams. He doesn't say prayers. He doesn't say faith. None of that comes out of your heart. Yeah? Instead, out of the heart, he says, comes murder, adultery, lies. That's what defiles you, not to eat with unwashed hands. This is not to say that the Christian heart is not redeemed and regenerated by the word of God, but this brings us back to the proverb. Solomon says, my son, don't let go of these words. Don't let them out of where you can see. See them so much that you shove them into your heart. Keep them in your heart at all cost. For they are, this is verse 22 back in Proverbs 4, they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. I don't think it's an accident that flesh is being talked about here. And it's more than just, it's not that my flesh as a son of Adam is perfected now in me, but it is perfected now in Jesus, so that I can know even this flesh will rise from the dead on the last day. By the word of God, by the word of baptism to me, by the promise that I'm in Christ and shall not be taken from him. That is healing to my flesh, and that is the word of God. That's the preaching of Christ crucified and raised. So then he says, verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. See, now here's where the danger is. I've been hedging against this whole time. He's not saying your heart is the source of all that's good as long as you take care of it, right? But rather, when the word of God, the living water, is poured into your heart regularly, then springs of life, that is a good confession of Christ, the word of God, which is in your heart because it's been put there through your ears as you seek it out and hear it, now it begins to come out of your mouth, and it becomes a water of life to other people. Now, to close here on this segment, I want to push this back to the idea of sight. Proverbs will bring this up again, the proud heart idea, in chapter 21, verse 4, where it says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. I find that really interesting. A lamp that is darkness, right? And it has to do with your heart being misguided, your heart being without the word of God. But he comes back to the idea of seeing there, right? How do you see? What you believe that both your mind knows but your heart holds will impact what you look at, and what you look at will impact what you do. This gets us very close to the talk of worldview, right? It's not just about knowing the right answers. What answers do you think with? Not just about, but with. What are the assumptions you believe and act from? And Solomon again is saying, this is what you must seek to have the word of the Lord be, is that base foundation that you walk on.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk about crooked speech as our series on the book of Proverbs continues. We're talking about wisdom as seeing the road. Stay tuned.
St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, panto te chairete, rejoice always, always rejoice. And the word he uses there is the same word which is used for grace, same root.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
By grace you are saved by faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's square one. And then Paul goes on to say, pray without ceasing and give thanks. Those all belong together. rejoice, pray, and give thanks all under the grace of Christ. The result is a deep joy.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for being joyfully Lutheran at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on the book of Proverbs. Today, Wisdom is Seeing the Road. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. The next subject that's brought up here in verse 24 is crooked speech. What are your thoughts there, Jonathan?
So now, between the eyes and the heart, you have the mouth, right? And we're still working toward the path as the main idea, but the path is a symbol of life. With that symbol of life is real life, and at the heart of real life is conversation and talk. And so Solomon focuses on, I said on the other side of the break, I said, you know, the heart will come to good confession, to good words. The word that's been put into you begins to be the word that comes out of you. It changes how you act, what you see, what you do. Solomon is saying that same thing in a different way by, again, giving the warning of what can take that from you. He says, put away, verse 24, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Now, I love the just the image of crooked speech as a metaphor, by the way. Because you think of crooked as opposed to what? Well, straight. Like a nice, clean piece of wood that's going to be used for building. Whether it's a 2x4 or something higher quality, you know, whatever. You need it straight and clean. As opposed to a warped piece of wood, that'd be one way of looking at. A bent piece of wood. Or a broken piece of wood, right? One that's snapped. Or a twig that's all crumply versus a perfect dowel, yeah? And to think of then our words as being that. Either our words are trustworthy and firm for building upon, or they're not. And when you set them in place, there's going to be holes or inadequacies or weaknesses in the building. So the building will fall down. I love that. So crooked words. Put those away in all their forms, whatever they are. This is just so much what James tells us, Jesus tells us, let your yes be yes, your no be no. The eighth commandment about not bearing false witness is really about telling the truth. It's about having an honest assessment of self and world and not speaking truth so as to hurt, but speaking truth so as to build up. And you do that by putting away from yourself crooked speech, putting away devious talk, so deceptive or wily or trying to find a way to use the words for your own benefit, which we are by the flesh quite masters of. Now, how much of this is about what you're supposed to say and how much of this is about what you're supposed to hear? Put away crooked speech can also be saying don't listen to it, right? When you know that someone is teaching falsely, don't consider yourself wise enough to find your way through the middle. Don't say, well, I can chew up the meat and spit out the bones. A very common kind of talk. Are you sure? Are you sure that you can and you won't choke on the bones? Because Solomon says to put the crooked speech away. Or as Paul says in Romans 16, right, to flee false teachers, to get away from them. And this is not unique to Proverbs here. Psalm 1 also describes the conversation of the wicked. the words going back and forth between two men, only one of whom is wicked, as grandly dangerous. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the, what? Counsel of the wicked. First thing he does is walk in what they say. Then he stands in the way of sinners. Now he's moved from the counsel to the path, right? And then he sits in the seat of scoffers. So he moves from walking beside someone and listening to his deceptive, wily words. Then he's standing on the same path, making the same decisions. And finally, he's so seated that he can't get up and leave. Versus, the blessed man doesn't do that. The blessed man, his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, the law of God, the truth of God's word. And this, again, is connected to being able to see, both in terms of letting your eyes look directly forward, as Proverbs 4:25 says, letting your gaze be straight, right? So you have a crooked speech that would make your gaze crooked. But he says, no, if you have good speech, if you have good words, your gaze is going to be straight. And how can you not think about the light of the path for you to see it without that? I guess as Amy Grant made me know these words so well, but I'm thankful for it. Psalm 119, 105, I mentioned earlier, Psalm 119 is a huge meditation on the value of the word of God. It really is summarized well in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So now again, this word, which is for the heart, to regenerate the heart, which is from good words and for good words, become something which, like eyes that can kind of shoot light out of them, so wherever you look, you can see where you're going. That word has now done this to your life. Jesus also talks this way in Matthew chapter 6, and this is not disconnected from the earlier stuff from him in Matthew 15, where he talks about your eyes being the source of truth in your body. And it's not as though, it's like with the heart, it's not as though your eyes by themselves can make truth. But it's that the eye is a lamp. It is a way of seeing or being blinded. So in verse 21 of chapter 6 in Matthew, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Everyone knows that one. Then he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Remember, the word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and this is connected now to our eyes, to how we see. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, that is, if what goes into your eyes, what goes into your ears, what you know to be the truth is a lie, how great is that lie, right? Because it thinks it's true. If light is darkness, now it's an even greater darkness. You have no hope of light. As opposed to one who knows the darkness for what it is, not light, and thus can seek the actual light. Now, this is all between, again, where's your treasure? And then no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. So in between this idea that we should be seeking the higher things of who God is, of serving him, which is always going to be about his word, we have this imagery of your eyes and the lamp and how you see and how you walk all coming together. So Jesus is, it's not as though Jesus doesn't know the Old Testament, and it's not as though he doesn't know the Proverbs. He's very much pulling from those ideas. So now again, we're shifting toward this idea of the path. It was introduced last time, by the way, as the fork in the road, the two ways that you can go. We'll kind of have to hit that again. But we're moving toward, once you're rejecting the wrong turn, the wrong left turn down the fork of the evil path, now guard that, cherish that, put the understanding of the difference deep in your heart so when your eyes see, that's what they're looking for, and your gaze will then, with that word as your foundation, be straight. Your speech, repeating the words of God, will not be crooked. You will be on the truth, and the truth would be that firm foundation of the good path.
We're talking about wisdom as seeing the road in our series on the Book of Proverbs. Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. He's senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, and host of the radio show called Sharper Iron. He's author of the books Broken and Echo. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or online at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we come to those words that we began with. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Jesus.
the 50 days of Easter. Sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Sanctifying your homeschooling with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gift certificates can be purchased for as little as $75 for a partial clean. Go to gifts.thecleaningauthority.com, enter your contact information, and choose the amount. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on the Book of Proverbs. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're talking about wisdom as seeing the road. Jonathan, we come at last here, this path from kind of the heart through the mouth to the eyes, where we are called upon to keep our eyes on the path ahead of us with those words, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure.
Yeah. And so now your whole body's involved too, right? So the heart has been redeemed. The mouth is able to speak truth. The eyes can see clearly, and now you may walk with feet where you need to go. And this does not mean like the street outside, how to get to work. It means when you're on the street outside going to work or going to the shopping market or going wherever you go in life, school, church, all these places, that you are walking that path with uprightness, with righteousness, with trust in the Word of God to be your understanding meter, your discernment tool, your foundation, and your enlightenment in the midst of all of that. So that each thing you would do with your hands, each step you would take, is judged for you by the Word of God, judged righteous in Christ, and then judged with a right or a wrong intent based on the law showing you where you should go. We talked about this a little bit last time as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 introduced this idea of the path of uprightness, and how upon it your steps will not be hampered. You can run and you're never going to fall down. You can't be tripped up on this path. And we looked at how Jesus has similar ideas of a divergent path coming up in Matthew chapter 7, where he talks about the narrow gate, which is hard to get through, and few find it, but on the other side is life. And then this wide gate that is easy to get through, but on the other side is death, and many find it. So that's still kind of behind us now in our thinking, as Solomon continues to say, ponder the path of your feet. Right? So look at where you're walking and think about it according to the word of God you've now had go into and regenerate your heart. When you do that, when you let the word of God that you have inside of you be the thing you think with, then all your ways will be sure. Then you have nothing to fear. Then Luther's oft misquoted, sin boldly, rightly applies. Because standing with the Ten Commandments as your decision-making tool for what should I do, knowing that you are baptized into Christ, he's dead and raised, so who can be against you? It is God who justifies. Now your ways are sure. If there's a question, it's not a question that really matters. It's a question that your reason can answer, and you can step forward confident that God is with you. Only do not swerve, verse 27, to the right or to the left. That is, don't step off the path of what the word has said, what the lamp that is God's light has shined before you. Turn your foot away from evil, it says. So there's a lot of places you could go with this. With the amount of time we have left today, I want to jump us into Isaiah a little bit here in two different things. One, a verse that I know a lot of people will have heard because of Advent services every year, John the Baptist crying, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The idea of the straight path now. Right? You can't run a crooked path. You can if you're a marathon runner, but the idea is you're not going to sprint. You know, no one does a 100-yard sprint in circles, right? You do a 100-yard sprint as straight as you can. You can't run easily as fast as you can on a curve. So also, a straight path is a safe path for us. You can see what's ahead of you. And Isaiah is crying, you know, believe that there is a straightness that needs to be here so that when the Lord comes, we are not against him. Right? And that gets us into Advent and a bunch of other stuff. So we know that one. Isaiah chapter 31, though, also has a lot of language about the path. And I'm going to read through a big chunk here because it's just so beautiful. And it is ultimately about God's salvation of us. This straight path that we can confidently run down is the path of justification by grace through faith because Christ is sufficient. And it will have the result of a life of fearlessness. So Isaiah 31, verse 18 says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' When you turn to the right or to the left." So as you would be tempted to turn to the right or left, you're going to hear the word of God saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Verse 22 goes on, "Then you will defile your carved idols overlaid with silver and your gold-plated metal images." That is, you're going to take your idols and you're going to destroy them. You're going to profane them, not God anymore. "You will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, 'Be gone.' And he will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and bread, the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. In that day your livestock will graze in large pastures, and the oxen and the donkeys that work the ground will eat seasoned fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork." So the paradise of a garden-like hoard of good things come as a result of this way to walk in, which is straight. He goes on a little bit more, verse 25, "And on every lofty mountain and every high hill, there will be brooks running with water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall." That is, as the strongholds of evil, as the ruins and desolation of our unbelief are brought down to nothing by the coming of the Messiah, what comes forth is the water of life, a source of all good things. Moreover, verse 26, "The light of the moon will be as the light for the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, holy number." And what it's saying here is that light's going to be more than we could imagine. Darkness is fleeing away from us. "In that day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wound inflicted by his blow."
Isaiah is talking about, again, so the exile of the people of Israel to Babylon, which was a hard thing. It's like us being exiled from paradise, from the garden, into this fallen valley of the shadow of death. It's a symbol of that. It's a hard blow to walk in decay and darkness with thorns and thistles. But the Lord is a light shining to fix that, entering it, obviously, historically, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, fixing it historically in his death on the cross, fixing it historically and forever in his resurrection from the dead. What that means for us now is a knowledge that makes us see how we can walk through the decay, not distracted by the decay or believing for a moment that it can save us or be made into our salvation. Instead, hearing again, and I'll go jargon on you, hearing law and gospel saying, this is the way, walk in it. Or another way to say it, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me. He who loves me, he will keep my word. And now we're back to the start, right? My son, be attentive to my words. Keep yourself from crooked words. Incline your ear to pure words. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord is pure, reviving the soul, dripping from the honeycomb, better than gold. It warns you, and it is in itself great reward. So to bring this all home, kind of summarizing, it is the same message. He hasn't given us anything new yet. And he won't for several chapters, so I hope you're enjoying it, because it keeps going with the same message we need to hear over and over again. I do think the idea of the path is one to hold fast to embrace as a Lutheran in the postmodern age, to cling to the idea that we can see our faith as something we walk with, that good works are not about climbing ladders, but about standing firm and running forward with confidence, both in grace and in natural law, what we should do. This idea of the path is one to grip and hold fast to again. But then also with that, the idea of being able to see, having a heart that can understand, all of these good gifts that flow in from around and because of this word of God that cannot fail us.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's host of a radio talk show called Sharper Iron and author of the books Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible, and Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. Jonathan, thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly about the God-shaped hole in the Avengers universe. Then we're going to spend some time with Dr. Gabriella Haynes of Answers in Genesis, discussing a discovery of a fossil from an alleged forerunner of modern humans, and we'll discuss how the National Democratic leaders are out of step with Democratic voters on abortion with Marjorie Dannenfelser. Are you looking for a First Communion, Confirmation, or Graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the Divine Service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Gieschen, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During May, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.